Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans, the fifth chapter. We've been going through the book of Romans. But I want to begin by just asking you this question, and that is, do you belong to something that gives you special privileges? Are you a member of something that gives you special privileges? I am. It's called Costco, right? Costco. But if you think about it, wait a minute, I pay so much money to get these special privileges. But the privilege is this, that I get to go in there and they take all my money. I mean, how is that a privilege, right? How's that a privilege? I try to stay out of that place, you know? But maybe for you it's Netflix or something, right? We have a privilege that supposedly other people don't have. And really in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about the privilege that you and I have as believers. The first four chapters, he's basically been making an ironclad case for really our position apart from Christ with God. And that is, without knowing Jesus, our position with God is this, that everybody on the globe is really guilty of sin, that all have sinned, all fall short of God's glory, God's standard, right? And because of that, that everybody really is under judgment, that if people were to appear as they will eventually and give an account of their life, that guess what? We would be found not guilty. It would be an easy thing. And so he's making that case that all mankind is under sin and they need to be rescued. And Jesus is the rescuer. Jesus is a rescuer. Praise God. I'm glad that he rescued me. I'm glad that he sent people and I was rude to them, sent them away. And yet he sent more and I was rude to them and sent them away. And he kept sending them. I didn't have to go to New Zealand, but I tell you what, he had to send a few people my way. And in chapter 5, he talks about the benefits of being follower of Jesus, because we have believed in Jesus, because we've believed in the work of Jesus, because we've agreed to follow Jesus, we've been what the Bible calls justified. And we looked at that. Justified means it's a legal term in which, almost like in a court of law, this we're talking about the court of heaven. We've been deemed to be not guilty. We've been ruled to be acquitted. Not because we weren't guilty, we were, but our guilt was put on Jesus. So that's why Jesus came. He took our guilt upon him. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so now the Father says, you're not guilty. So you got to understand that. Walk that way. Don't walk as if you're still guilty. You're not guilty. Right? The Bible says you went from being a sinner to being a saint. There's a huge difference, amen? So I'm going to look at three different things that justification gives us. It's all by faith, right? We didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. So here's the first thing. Important. This one's huge, and you got to get this one for sure. Justification by faith brings peace with God. Man, that is so huge, because there was a time when you and I were in rebellion to God. Outright rebellion, right? And I remember when the gospel, see, I was in rebellion and didn't even know it. And that's why the enemy hates that God's people are going to present the gospel, because when the gospel is presented, then something in the spiritual realm goes into action, right? There's a power that is unleashed in the spiritual realm. So when the gospel was shared with me, all of a sudden I began to realize, oh my gosh, I am not only a sinner, but oh my gosh, I'm in rebellion to God. And I don't want to be in rebellion to God. I mean, that how crazy is that, that you would be in rebellion to the very one who created you? And so, and yet, that's where most of the people are. But the good news in Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, right, as a result of everything I've said in the first four chapters, therefore, having been justified, how? By faith. What are the results? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have peace with God. And this word peace, we sometimes think peace is just an absence of war. Or we think peace is an absence of conflict, but it's so much more. This word is so much more. And really what it means in its essence is to set at one again. It's almost a sense like something is built upright and then it falls and there's chaos that's resulting. I mean, we know that in Adam and Eve, when they rebelled to God, messed everything up. And so the Lord sends Jesus really to try to put everything at one again. It really speaks of rest, being in a place of rest, It speaks of being in a place of quietness. It even speaks of freedom, being free with God. Now, with me, when I think of peace, I think about kind of my relationship with my mom and my dad. We all have, you know, different, how would I say, experiences with our mom and our dad. I praise the Lord that I was raised by good parents. I mean, they weren't believers until the very end, but there was something about the way we were raised. See, I understand peace. When I was with my mom, I was at peace. I could be my goofy self with mom. I can say the stupidest things with mom, right? I mean, she might just knock me in the head a little bit, but still, you know, I could be at peace. Now, when I was with dad, even though my dad was a good man, I always felt I had to measure my words, you know, because he's dad, right? There was a certain fear of dad. Not because, you know, he was a fearful guy. He just looked menacing. And in fact, my friends would say, "Hey man," they'd meet my dad. They're like, "Is your dad mafia?" I mean, he looked like mafia. You know, a lot of times he wore a suit, he had a flat top, he just had this look like a mafioso. My friends are like, you know, they'd meet my dad. And I'm like, "No, my dad's actually a good guy." But there was a difference. Whenever I went to talk to dad, it's almost I had to measure my words. I had to, you know, kind of, okay, how's he going to take it? Because, I mean, he would just look at me. And that was different. I mean, like, woo, okay. See, in my life, I think he only spanked me twice, which is kind of crazy, right? Because all he had to do was look at me, and they would correct the behavior. That's the kind of weight that man had. You know what I'm talking about? And so when I think of peace, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I can go be before God and be my goofy self, right? I can go before God and I don't have to have the right prayers. Right? I can just be myself before the Lord because I'm at peace with him. I'm no longer in rebellion to him. Does that mean? But here's what I want you to do is take advantage of that. Right? Take advantage of that. Understand that you're no longer at odds with God. And you're not at odds with God because he made sure that you were reconciled with him. He came after you. You know, it's like my dad. I think if my dad knew that I felt that way, it would have probably been, he would probably say, "Oh, son, I never meant for you to be afraid of me. I never did. I can't help that I look this way," right? I mean, he could have helped the flat top, right? I mean, dad, he could have done away with that. You know, I remember whenever my dad would take me to the barber, and he'd always scare me because he'd say, "Hey, get my flat top like me." No, I'm thinking, I'm going to have to drop out of school. Right? Yeah. And then the barber, he messed me up. I'm going to deviate. Oh, my gosh, I don't have much time. But I'm going to deviate anyway. The barber would say like this, right? I had curly hair. My hair would get longer and it'd curl up in the back. You know why? And the barber would say, "You know why your hair curls? Because you're a bad kid." Who does that to a kid? No wonder I'm messed up. It's the barber's fault. It was a different day to grow up. But look at what Colossians 3:15 says. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." He says, walk around with peace in your God. God's not mad at you. If you've been reconciled, if you belong to him, if you're living for him, you're at peace with him. Don't think I was, you know, I was raised in where I thought God was out to squash me, that God was mad at me. God, he's not. He's so for me, right? He is so, he's cheering me on. He knows what he put in me, and he wants to bring that up out of me. And so let the peace of God be in your life. Here's the second thing regarding justification. Not only does justification by faith bring peace with God, but justification by faith brings access to God and brings favor with God. Two huge things, right? Let's look at verse 2. Through whom also we have access, how? By faith into what? Into this grace, this favor in which we stand. And so we rejoice in hope, right? That raises a hope in us of the glory of God. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, you and I have a privileged position. We really do. We have a privileged position. And when it talks about access means to bring into a presence of someone, to give them admission, and also freedom to enter through the favor of another. And I love this because when I worked with the feds, I had access to federal judges, which is kind of unique because of what I did. We would have what they call ex parte meetings with federal judges, which I found out a lot of federal officers in other places in the U.S. don't have that. They just thought, what? You can go in and talk to a federal judge and talk over a case? Yeah, we could do that. And then we'd go into court. And so when I think about access, it's that way. Really, the word, what it means, you have to think in terms of a royal court. You know, we saw, I think it's on Netflix. It's a the UK produced this thing. It's a short series, two-season miniseries, on the life of Queen Victoria, Amazon Prime. Well, that's where we see it, but I think you probably see it on Netflix too. But in other words, woman, don't correct me. I'm on a flow. And so anyway, so this miniseries, look, she's like, you're gonna get it tonight. No dinner tonight, no dinner. But this miniseries on Victoria, oh my gosh, I'm out of control. This miniseries on Victoria is pretty cool because it's pretty true to detail, right? But anybody that would come in, right, to meet the queen, they would announce, right? They would announce that person. And so when I think in terms of access, I'm thinking you and I, we are announced before God. You know, who announces us? Jesus does. Who introduces us? Jesus does. And the reason we have access is because of Jesus. The reason I had access to federal judges was really because of my position. That's the only reason that we had access. And so my encouragement to you, church, is take advantage of that access. Now, how do you take advantage of it? By sitting down and praying. By sitting down with His Word and just spending time in His presence. You and I, we get so busy and doing all kinds of stuff. Take advantage of being in His presence. You know, go find a tree and lean against it and talk to God. Take advantage of that presence. Amen? Now look what Ephesians 2:13 says. But now, talking about right now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once what? Far off. Man, you weren't even in the neighborhood. Right? You were in New Zealand on the other side of the world. That's how far off you were from God, right? But it's not that way anymore. He says, you've been brought near now. Right? How? By the blood of Christ. Not because of what you've done. Jesus made the introduction. He's the one that has given us access to the Father. So now, according to the Apostle Paul, we have a favored place and we have a favored position with God. So here's the third thing regarding this justification that we now have, the advantage we have. Justification by faith develops perseverance, develops character, and develops hope. You're going to see a progression, right? You know, you read some stuff and you're like, what are you talking about, the Apostle Paul? Right? And that's what right here. He's saying all kinds of good stuff. And in verse 3, he says, not only that, he says, you think it's good, it's going to get better. So you got your hopes up, right? You're like, oh, tell me more. But look what he says next. But we also glory, right? We rejoice. We get excited. We also glory in what? Tribulations. What? What are you talking about? You had me going, I was all excited. And you're saying, guess what is going to come your way? And you're going to get all excited about this. Tribulations, right? Tribulations, trouble, right? Tribulations means pressure, affliction, anguish, trouble. So he says, not only in that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope, he says, you want to get hope because it does not disappoint. In other words, you're going to see what God has for you. Because of the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The reason God gives you His Holy Spirit when you agree to follow Him really also is a measure of the hope. I mean, He gives you His very own presence. I mean, what is more loving than that? But he says, we glory in tribulations. Whenever there's pressure, whenever there's affliction, right? Whenever there's anguish and trouble, those things are going to come our way. You know, sometimes people, and I don't know why, but sometimes people are told the wrong thing. And so people, you know, are told something like this, you know, give your life to Jesus and you won't have any problems. Give your life to Jesus and life is going to be just amazing. And you know what? I'm thinking, what Bible are they reading? Because didn't we just read it? He said, no, you're going to have tribulation. In fact, look at John 16:33. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, in the world, and that's where you and I are, right? That's, we're still here. In the world, you will what? Have tribulation. How emphatic can it be more than that? You know, you will have tribulation. He's telling you, trouble's going to come your way. But be a good cheer. He goes, here's the good news. I have overcome the world. He's saying, I'm bigger than whatever trouble comes your way. I don't, if somebody's bad-mouthing you, guess what? I'm bigger than that. In fact, this is what the Holy Spirit would say. Forget what people are telling you. Just listen to what I tell you, right? You're sick or whatever in body. Guess what? I created your body. I can do whatever I need to, right? I always say he's the God of creation and recreation. He can do whatever he needs to do. So whatever problem you have, I will come, and I'm the one that can take you through it. So he says, we will glory in tribulations, knowing that it produces perseverance. Right? Perseverance, what does that mean? Perseverance means bearing up under pressure. It really means endurance. He goes, I'm gonna let trouble come your way. I'm gonna let pressure come your way because I'm developing endurance in you. I'm developing patience in you. I'm developing fortitude. What he's saying is this: I'm gonna take you to the spiritual gym. See, he says I want to toughen you up as a believer because I'm gonna take you to the spiritual gym. That's why people go to the gym. I mean, have you ever thought about people? It's like, wait a minute. I'm going to lift weights, and really what I'm doing is I'm creating micro tears in the muscle to strengthen the muscle, because when it heals, it gets stronger. And then I'm going to put more weight, right? That's the word right here, right? Perseverance. I'm putting more weight, more pressure. Why? To toughen myself up. See, if the Lord doesn't toughen us up, then any little thing can just take us out. Any little thing, and I've met too many believers that the small, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This little thing, someone said something mean about you. Oh, Pastor, someone said something mean to me. I'm leaving the church. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? See, and it's because we haven't allowed God to take us to that place of maturity, amen? I mean, call me names. Right? Call me names. It's not going to, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to go home and cry. Right? I'm going to kick the dog, but I'm not going to cry. No, just kidding. Oh, man, I'm good. I'm going to get it tonight. Woo. Man. I'm out of control this morning. Perseverance. So he says, here we go. He said, I'm going to bring tribulation to you because I want to toughen you up. I'm going to get you to the place of endurance and then character. Character, the word. Well, let me go back to a verse here. Hebrews 12:1, before I get to character. Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us run with perseverance, the race marked before us, with endurance. That's the way this Christian life is. It's a life of endurance. It's a race of endurance. It's not an easy race. How many of you would say being a follower of Jesus is easy? No, it's not easy. That's why not everybody does it. See, when I work with the feds, people, you know, whatever, I'm like, you know what? The reason you don't follow Jesus is because you're weak. See, a lot of times they say believers are weak. I said, no, because we're called to be counterculture, right? We're called to swim the opposite way of the river. The reason you don't follow Jesus is because you're weak, right? You care about what people say. And they're like, quit messing with my mind. No, I'm telling you the truth, right? You know, it's like this. If you want to challenge me, I'll challenge you back. Because it is. This is the hardest life there is to live. Life was easy when I was a boozer. It really was. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It really was. I mean, it brings problems, yes, but it's a hard life. And I don't want you to think that, you know, this is a neat, you know, wait a minute. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. It is a hard life. That's why you need Jesus, right? But he's trying to develop something in you. He's trying to develop character. Character means experience, integrity, strength. It means you're going to go through stuff, but that you're on the other end, you're going to be stronger, which is what he wants. He wants to develop strong people, strong believers, that people can, you know, things can wipe people out. A good, for instance, when I worked in government, I worked 24 years in government, about every 2 years, you know, there's always talk of layoffs. You know, people are like, so everybody's like, you know, freaking out. There's going to be layoffs. They're cutting back. And I'm, you know, whistling through the hallways. You know, they're like, why aren't you all upset? They're talking about layoffs. Guess what? I've been through stuff, right? I've been through stuff, and so I'm stronger at the other end. And so it was a perfect opportunity for me to tell him, well, guess what? The Lord put me here, and only he can take me out, right? He gave me this job, and only he can take it from me. So I'm okay, right? But that's the way we ought to live, with strength of the Lord. But he's got to develop in it. And then ultimately, he says it develops hope in us, right? It says perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint. In other words, if you hang in there, you're going to see the things that God has for you. And that's what we want. You're going to see the things that God has for you. You're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to be excited. Amen? Let me finish with this. I'm going to challenge you. You guys ready? Yeah, a couple of you are like, no. Here it goes. Here's the application. Do you find yourself sometimes fighting God's peace? And you're like, no. But you got to understand this before you answer too quickly. Sometimes we fight God's peace by staying too busy. See, remember, peace is to be quiet before him. Peace is to be in his presence. And you understand, man, I have access, and I'm going to take advantage of that access, and I'm going to be okay with God to spend time in his presence. But a lot of times, we're just so busy. In a sense, we're fighting God's peace. Right? And that's why we're up in turmoil. That we're in turmoil because we haven't taken the time just to be before the Lord. And then the other one, are you pushing back against his desire to toughen you up, to mature you? I mean, for several weeks, we've been talking to you about discipleship. And I love it when people are honest with me. When people say, you know what? I know God wants to disciple me, but I don't want to toughen up my life. You know, I know it's tough, and I don't want to do tough right now. I love that. That's an honest answer. But guess what? I'm still going to push you to let God toughen you up, because you will never get to the place of maturity without going through stuff. Amen? That's one thing in my leaders. You got to understand this about my leaders. I'll rarely appoint somebody to be a leader if they haven't gone through stuff. See? Because I want them to go through stuff and then on the other side say, you know what? I've been through what you've been. Right? I've been through what you've been. And I've come out on the other side. And the other side is awesome. We're seeing all kinds of good stuff. And so you got to go through stuff if you want to be mature. I'm telling you already, and we'll encourage you. We're going to be like a coach, right? You're in the fifth round and you're all bloody. It doesn't look good, but you're going to win. I mean, that's what a good coach does, right? Good coach does. And so here's what the agreement I want to get from you. Do you agree to give up today to say, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm fighting you. I know you want to take me to a deeper place and I don't want to go deeper. Because I want to watch 8 hours of TV. I watch all my sports. You know, Lord, I don't want to change my life. Well, today I'm challenging you to give that up. Say, okay, Lord, enough of that. Instead, what I'm going to do, Lord, is I'm going to trust the process. Right? I'm going to trust the process, right? That you're going to bring some stuff my way. You're going to build endurance. You're going to build strength in me, and you're going to build hope that I wake up every day and know you're going to do something good today. Amen? Amen, amen. Well, let's, I'm just going to close in prayer and we're done. You can go get your kids.